أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما. والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما. يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. ومن تاب وعمل صالحا فإنه يتوب إلى الله متابا. صدق الله العظيم. Since yesterday we discussing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has termed as Ibadur Rahman, those servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have certain qualities which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about. One was the quality of humility. The second was to stand up at night in the tahajjud salat, making qiyam, making ruku and sajda, etc. And then the third quality was that they had realized and understood the severity of the azab of the fire of Jahannam. Hence they made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. The next quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about is insofar as the monetary matters of life is concerned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا. They are those servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when they spend, لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا. They are not squanderous. In other words, they do not make israf. And وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. And at the same time, they are not miserly in their spending. Now what is israf? And what is being squanderous? And what is being miserly? Insofar as the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, there are certain necessities of life upon which we have to spend. Insofar as our food is concerned, our dwellings are concerned, etc., for survival we have to spend. Now when we spend, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set down a limit that whatever is necessary that we will be able to acquire and we will have to spend accordingly. Over and above that, even if it be in permissibilities and we go beyond that, then that is regarded as israf. Then there is another aspect of this, and that is when one begins to spend in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama have termed that as tabdhir, and inna al-mubadhirina kanu ikhwan al-shayateen. That when a person spends, and that spending is not a legitimate, not a valid spending in Islam, in other words, spending on something that is haram, then that person is regarded as an akin to the brother of shaitan. Now here a very important aspect has also come to light, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not speak about earning over here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about spending. Many of us have this frame of mind that insofar as our earning is concerned, there are regulations in the Shariat. There are do's and there are don'ts, there are permissibilities and prohibitions. But once the wealth comes into our hands, then we have this notion that we can spend the way we want to spend. And here, this is the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing. That if one knows how to spend, if one knows where to spend, then one will obviously know how to earn and where to earn from. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves out the factor of earning, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the factor about spending, and hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this one aspect. The second aspect is وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. Then at the same time, they are not miserly. There are certain things in life that we have to spend upon. Like for example, a man has to spend on his family, and he has to give what is necessary. If anyone gives less than what is necessary, then that will be regarded as miserliness. Sometimes there are other spendings over and above our compulsory spendings in the path of Allah, insofar as our zakat is concerned. Then over and above that, we will have other aspects of spending, like what we will term as lillah, for the masajid, etc. Now when there is a need and we do not give, then also we will be regarded as being miserly. So hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chalked out the path between these two. We find in the hadith of our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam that from the understanding of a person is that he creates the moderate part insofar as his spending is concerned. And we find another hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that that person that spends moderately will never face poverty, and hence he will not become in need of anyone. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and in between this is the qawam, is the straight path insofar as our livelihood and our living is concerned. Now these were those things that they do. In the next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the don'ts, what they abstain from. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ. They are those who do not call, who do not invoke with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any other deity, any other object of worship. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has eliminated every form of it. Sometimes, and as we've said this always, that we have iman in only one Allah. When we call and we make dua, we call upon only one Allah. But sometimes in the bottoms of our hearts, in the back of our minds, in the crevices of our hearts, we also feel that others can help us besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this needs to be totally eliminated. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. The second is that they do not kill any soul except that which Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram except with due right. The due right will be, for example, in an Islamic country under the supervision of an Islamic hukumat, and when a qazi has given the declaration for that person who intentionally killed someone, or a married person had committed zina, adultery, or a person renegated from the deen of Islam, then obviously those persons, their blood becomes halal, and again, it will be under the supervision of an Islamic hukumat, an Islamic country, and the qazi would have given that verdict, then that killing would be carried out. Otherwise, all other killings, in general senses, will not be allowed. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. And they do not commit zina, they do not fornicate. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever does that, then that person will fall into athama. One is that the sin that he has committed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him for that sin. And some ulama have stated that atham is also a valley that is in the fire of Jahannam, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meets out the most terrible of punishments, and hence that is also called atham. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That their chastisement, their azab will be doubled on the day of Qiyamah. One is because of disbelief, and the second is because of the sins that they had carried out. وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. And for a disbeliever, they will remain in it, in a state of disgrace forever and ever. But Allah has also made the exception, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ. Except that person who makes tawbah, wa amana, and he brings iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is insofar as a non-Muslim is concerned, and there is a very fine point between the two. One is a non-Muslim, a person who has always been a non-Muslim. And that person then brings iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is that a person is a Muslim, and just as an example, he kills someone, and he feels and he believes that that killing was permissible. And because of that, he has lost his iman. And now he renews and he refreshes his iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will also be included. وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. And he practices righteously as far as his actions are concerned. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Then they are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn the evil into good. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying this means that if a disbeliever, he had committed kufr for a number of years, like we find in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, for 99 years, even if he committed kufr, and then obviously in his book of deeds, there is only evil that has been written. Now he makes tawbah and he brings iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace that record of deeds that he has with another record of deeds which will be good. That is one explanation. Some ulama have explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Rabbul Izzat will give to a sinner when he made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ill deeds, and Allah will grant him without any accountability upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will grant him the reward even for that evil. Allah will change it into good, and that will be from the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fadl of Allah Rabbul Izzat. There are those ulama that have also explained to us a very important aspect. And one is this, that a person led a life of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then reality came upon him, he makes tawbah or she makes tawbah, and they renew themselves, they refreshen themselves, and now they begin to practice righteously. In other words, there is a total reformation, just didn't stop at tawbah, but after tawbah they began to practice righteously. Now in that state of being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are point in times in a person's life when we will reflect, and sometimes the thought of our past sins come into our hearts. One thing is very important, is we should not be proud about it. We should not voluntarily bring those thoughts into our minds. But if it comes on its own, and then at that time when the thought comes, the person expresses his nadamat, he expresses his regret and his remorse to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it be for brief moments, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will obviously reward that person for that regret and that remorse. So in that sense, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for that evil deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him because of that remorse and his regret. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is most compassionate. وَمَنْ تَابَ, Allah ta'ala says, and whoever forgives, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, whoever seeks forgiveness and repents, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and he practices righteously, فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا, then certainly he has returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in complete totality. In other words, Allah Rabbul Izzat also turns towards him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. May Allah ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.